I was asked earlier this morning if I would do this tonight, and I kind of hesitated because I didn't have much, but God gave me something, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and open this up, and we'll hear God's word. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all you do for us. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit speak to me tonight, not my words, but be your words. Let everything that's said and done here tonight bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, have y'all ever had a uh-oh moment or oh no? All the time. Oh, snap. What am I going to do? Tragedy. You look in your bank account and it's negative 13. I was actually at the bank today, and this old couple, I mean, they were in there. Look like their 90s, and a little F-150, F-100 pickup. They were coming through the drive-thru, and I heard them. The lady went back, and she told them they were negative $13 in their checking account. And that's a oh-no moment, you know. I was driving today with my 4-year-old grandson, and I was thinking, Dennis just told me, I just told Dennis I'd do it, and I'm thinking, oh, man, God, give me something. I've got a 4-year-old in the back seat. It's like this. We get off, we're going up 40 towards Bass Pro. He said, Papa, look, there's a cross in the sky. And he said, my mom told me God is everywhere. He said something like X marks the spot. I don't know what that means, but... And it hit me. So there it is. I want to briefly go through God's word tonight and show you the biggest uh-oh moment in what we do, what God supplies us with, and where we go from there. So if you have your Bible, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8. I think he's pulling it up. He doesn't have the NSAB, so I'm going to read the NIV to see how different it says and if it brings it more to life. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. Go to the next verse. The men of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware the passing that place because the Arameans are going to be down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God time and time again. Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers. Now, he's mad because every time he sets up his camp, Elisha is telling him where it's at. He summoned his officers, and he demanded of them, tell me, basically he's saying, who is telling people where I'm at? Tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. Verse 12, none of us. He said, my lord king. But it's Elisha, the prophet. And these were true prophets. You're only a prophet if everything you say comes true. You can't be wrong one time. Remember that one. A lot of people say they're prophets today. You get it wrong one time, you're not a prophet. He's right every time. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel, the very words you speak in your bedroom. Elisha is telling his guys everything the king is saying, even in his bedroom. So he's knowing their plan everywhere. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Go to the next verse. The king's outraged. He said, go find out where he is so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Let's go ahead and finish that. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force. They went by night and they surrounded the city of Dothan. Keep going. Here's where it gets good. And here's our text for tonight. When the servant of the man of God, this is Elisha's servant. He's looking after him. He's doing everything. His job was to make sure everything was okay. When Elisha's servant gets up the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the whole city. They've got them always surrounded. He looks at Elijah and says, "Oh no. My Lord, what shall we do? What are we going to do?" How many of you had them moments? What are we going to do? I had one the other day. What are we going to do? What am I going to do? Keep going. First he said, don't be afraid. That's easy. Anybody can tell you, you call somebody and you tell them your thing, what they first thing they're going to say is, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us, we've all heard this, it's in songs. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Keep going. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord. His servant, he's talking to a servant. Keep that in mind. His servant comes in and says, we're surrounded. I mean, there are armies of chariots. The king of Aram here, he's got us covered. We are doomed. What's Elijah do? He walks out and says, open your eyes. He prayed to God that he would open his eyes. There's nothing in the context in the scripture that says his eyes were closed. You get where I'm going with this? He's not telling him to physically open his eyes because you can't see. He's saying, open your eyes so you can see what I see. I heard this in a sermon years ago, well, 5 or 6 years ago. And the pastor did this big illustration of men surrounding him. And it goes on to the next verse. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness, which they did. So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. What did Elijah see that his servant didn't see? He saw a greater army, legions, which are thousands and thousands. Now you imagine, I'm going to go down here and welcome everybody online. I forgot to say that because I forgot I'm online. Imagine men surrounding me here. And I think I'm in doom. There's no escape. Elijah comes out and goes, you need to open your eyes. God's protecting us. There's a whole army up here surrounding them. The time you think it's doomed for you, God's always has an escape. There's always an escape. There's always a way out. There's always a greater army that God has promised to send us. And we're going to look at that. My little 4-year-old grandson, he said, God is everywhere. And we're looking, there's clouds, and you know, when planes go by, it leaves that streak. And just so happened, I'm reading started a new book. And if you really want to dive into something really cool, it's a book on the Holy Spirit by John Bevere, Bevere. It is breathtaking how they talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we forget about. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The least talked about is the Holy Spirit. And we could preach on weeks and talk about it for weeks, and you're still not going to cover it all. So I want to bring out a few things that I've learned about the Holy Spirit and how he's always with us. And my little grandson taught me today that even in the clouds, and we'll get to this in a minute, where you see that's the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a deity, the Trinity. And the best way this guy explained it in a book, this is how he explained the Holy Spirit. And I'm simple. Okay? I don't get into a whole lot of theology. If I read it, it says it. God says it. I believe it. All right? I get the context of it, and I trust it. All right? I'm like a 9-year-old with Santa Claus. God says, come to me with childlike faith. That's what I do. That's what I try to do. I may miss some things. But looking at those clouds today and then reading just 2 days ago, the first part of the deity that visited earth was the Holy Spirit. And we'll go back to explaining, put this deity and this Trinity in context for you. The best way that I've heard it in many, many years is you're building a mansion or building even this building. You've got the architect, which is God. You have the foreman that reports to the architect that tells everybody what to do. And you have the Holy Spirit as the workers. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was also had many other names, but it was called the finger of God in many ways. If you go to Genesis 1 and 2. The first on the scene, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that. Look at Genesis 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. What's it say? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the first one on the scene was the Holy Spirit. So when you're ever down and out, or you got that place where you're like, oh no, there's a couple reasons to look up. And ever since I've heard that sermon, I'll look up. Because God's promises are, he's got you covered, no matter how bad it is. And what I've done in the past, and still do sometimes, and I know a lot of us do, something goes bad, what do? We call a friend. Most times that friend is really not apt to give you godly advice. So when you get to a situation like that, think of God's protection over you. It's always there. And he says in when it goes to the New Testament, of all of his promises, he says, I will not give you more you can bear. And I will provide you what? An escape. There's always an out. All right? Elisha's out was God's army on top of the mountain. They had the city surrounded, but God sent Elisha an army, and he could see it. And I want you guys to see that tonight and look for that. Instead of looking to call a friend or somebody you know for advice to get out of something you're in trouble with, call somebody that you know that's going to give you godly advice. All right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the job of the Holy Spirit. And it would take hours and hours, wouldn't it? You can't cover it all. What the Holy Spirit does. And the best way I could describe this is the day of Pentecost. All right. You guys remember the first church born and how it was born. Go to Acts 2. You remember when Jesus said in, when Jesus kept telling his disciples, and he's meeting with them daily, they see all of his miracles. How many of you watched that movie, the series The Chosen? If you haven't, get it. It breaks it down in more of childlike terms, but Jesus was with them daily. We personally didn't get to see his miracles. A lot more miracles that aren't recorded. But at the end, before his ascension, he tells them something that actually blows me away. He said, "Go wait for me. Don't worry about me. I'm sending you something better." Now, what could be better than a personal walk with Jesus? He said, "Go wait. Go wait. I'm sending you a helper." That's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, the difference, you'll see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And you see a lot more of it in the New Testament. And I was asking Garrett earlier, tell me a quick difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was a brief moment. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament promised through Christ that anyone who comes, professes his name, and accepts him as Lord and Savior gets that Holy Spirit forever. It's permanent. It wasn't in the Old Testament. Only with John the Baptist had it. But it's in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the upper room. Is that Acts 2, 6? Now, before that, go to 4. We'll just go from 1 to 6 then. I'll read all that. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Jesus told them to go wait. All right, it's probably 120 of them, disciples and friends and family. Verse 2 says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Some versions say rushing wind. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and they all separated, and they all started to talk in their own language. Go back to verse 2. Well, go to 4, the last one you just had up. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues of their own language. Go back to 2 where it says rushing wind. The blowing of a violent wind. NASB says rushing wind. I looked that word up about 5 years ago in the Greek. You know what the word for that rushing wind is? Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. That's the Greek word. That was the original pneuma. Was in there where it says blowing of a violent wind. Pneuma, pneumonia. That's where they get pneumonia from. The word pneuma in the Greek means a God-breathed air. Take that in. Whenever you have that oh no moment, can you imagine, and I've imagined this, I've seen people come down here and get saved, God's actually blowing his breath, his spirit into them, which is permanent. You get me? A permanent God-breathed heir. That's amazing. That stays with you. Now, that permanent God-breathed heir, his Holy Spirit, the third of the Trinity, does several things. He's a counselor. God said he's going to be a counselor. That Greek word is called paraclete, which basically breaks down to a lawyer, a life coach, someone that's, the word para means close, somebody close by. She would be your para if she's close by. My wife Julie's my para. She's by me all the time. The Holy Spirit, when you get it, is by you all the time. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God that does his work. Okay? I heard this guy say that in this book I'm reading. I told elders tonight. I said, I don't know if I told you this or not. Check it out if I did. That we don't have Jesus in our heart. You know, people say, I've got Jesus in my heart. Jesus isn't here. He's sitting on the right-hand side of God. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart because the Holy Spirit is the only one here right now. God's on the throne. Jesus sitting at the right hand. You understand that a little bit more? That Holy Spirit is permanent. Now, let's look at some things that the Holy Spirit does. He walks so close with us. Now, this Holy Spirit I'm talking about, you only get when you're a child of God. All right? That's the only time in Scripture where it says it's permanent. When you are born again, child of God, he gives you, that's why it's called a gift. All right? And a lot of the jobs of the Holy Spirit are to help you. Dwells in us forever and convicts us. All right? Not only does he convict us if we're doing something bad or if we're getting ready to do something bad or we're thinking something bad, that's the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us. And he's doing that because he's walking close to us. And if we can ever look at the Holy Spirit as that, not as a human, but a deity that walks close with us, we can get more of it. I think a lot of times we look past what the Holy Spirit does, right? We get more of ourselves. I mean, we can all agree we rely on ourselves more. We rely on our wife, our husband, right? The Holy Spirit will convict you, and it's your conscience as well, but God gives us a conscience. But us born-again believers have that gift. And that's what I want you to see tonight. When you have that uh-oh moment, when you have that, oh, no, a death. My father died in 01, and I was devastated. Didn't know he was going to die. Had a massive heart attack. And I'll never forget the phone call from my younger brother. I lost my mind. I didn't know what to do. I was in a house in the mountains, and it was just pure snow. And all I could do was walk outside and look in the air. And instantly, God gave me peace. I didn't know why. I knew at the time my dad had got saved about 6 months before that. He was a drunk. Great man, but he had a problem with alcohol. Smartest man I ever met in my life. But he had a lot of issues. And at the very end, I stand here today and I know for a fact that after it was all over, I realized why I had that peace. Because I saw what God did. He humbled him to get him. He put a founder of a multi-million dollar corporation. This guy was an electrical mechanical genius. Put him in a mental institution to grab him. And while he was in a mental institution, he got saved. He called me one day. And it, when I stood out there, I just had this peace. And that was nothing but the Holy Spirit saying, everything's going to be okay. When we found out days later what had happened, it was all I could do but to smile. My family, my brothers and sisters, sometimes they couldn't believe I was smiling when they said certain things. I knew where he was at, you know? And that's the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you, but the Holy Spirit will also convict others. A good lawyer will convict a criminal. And when you come to church and when you see Josh preaching, Josh is 287 words a minute. I'm probably 62. To me, there's no better. And he preaches God's word. And you're like, I cannot believe somebody didn't accept Christ today. But there's times when you see it, you know it's authentic. You know the Holy Spirit has grabbed that person. The first time I came to church here, I sat right over here. Right where near Ralston sitting. I didn't know who the pastor was. I saw this young guy walking around. He's shaking everybody's hand. I looked at my wife. I said, there, that's probably him. Here he comes. Semi-mohawk thing. Okay, here we go. He comes over and he said, hey, how you doing? I said, it's our first time. He goes, oh, great to have you. I said, man, you better preach your word today, brother. You know what he said? I've never had a pastor say this. He goes, I'll make a deal with you. I'll preach the word if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He walked away. I looked at my wife and said, whoa. We had a new couple beside us. That was their first time. They were like this. And I reminded him a year later what he told me. And it's true. If we allow the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of times you walk through that door and you're like, nah, stay outside. Or the opposite. A lot of times we walk out that building holding the Holy Spirit's hand. By the time you get to the parking lot, you're like, feel me? Yeah. The paraclete, the para is the Holy Spirit walking right beside us. We've got to ask for it. Okay? We have to get up every morning and say, you know, Holy Spirit, fill my day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about tongues and all that. I don't get that deep. You want to speak tongues? Speak tongues. I don't know. I'm just talking about the Holy Spirit as a paraclete, a follower that follows me, that guides me, that counsels me. If we go to 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. 10 and 11. It said, these are the things God has revealed. These are the things that God has revealed to us. God didn't have to reveal anything to us, but he did. By his what? Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, when you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, know that the Holy Spirit knows everything deep about God because he is God. You got the architect, the foreman, and the workers. They're all the same person. Right? The Holy Spirit can have a conversation with 10 billion people at the same time. That's truth. He's there all the time. And when you go to him and say, help me, in Jesus' name, help me with fill in the blank. Already know that these are the things God has revealed to us. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. So he already knows the answer. And if we seek him and we ask him, you'll get it. I think we sometimes, we look at so many things to get the answer. You know? We debate with other people and we talk about this and that. Just read the scripture. Ask the Holy Spirit. And if you're a child of God and you've been born again, you profess Christ's name, when you open that book up, he's going to speak to you. All right? Now, if you keep opening that book up and you get blanks, you may need to go over to Corinthians and see what Paul says about it. It may be a time to examine yourself, as I had before. Paul asks us to examine ourselves sometimes and see where we're at. But I want you tonight just to get what the Holy Spirit is. So in these uh-oh moments, you know, one, you have help, you have a counselor, you have someone following close by you, and you have the finger of God. Y'all remember, the last thing here, y'all remember when they brought the prostitute to Jesus? And they said, they all got around him, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they got around him and they said, we got her. I've always wondered a couple of things. Where was the guy? They didn't say nothing about the guy. But they brought her down and they circled him. Picture that. They circled Jesus and they said, what are you going to do with her? They say, stone her. All right? She's done this, she's done that. The Holy Spirit's the finger of God. Remember I told you that? What did Jesus do? Jesus gets down, and I've asked a couple pastors, what do you think he wrote? Because the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. But the Bible does say he took his finger. And if the Holy Spirit is the finger of God, and he convicts, I'm just saying, you can go read it. And he starts to write something, and the oldest from the youngest start to leave. I think he was writing the Ten Commandments. I think he was saying, thou shalt not lust, commit adultery. They knew that. Whatever he wrote, they knew. That was the Holy Spirit doing the work. Convicted them because they all left. And he looks at her and says, where'd they go? They're all gone. So let's keep that in mind when we have that uh-oh moment. All right? Let's keep in mind that God is bigger than that. God has sent us. He's promised us through his Holy Spirit as a gift to those who believe in him, those who trust him, those who are born again, you will get that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a good way you know you're saved. And when those times come, look up. Look up and remember, Elisha was surrounded. Remember, he looked at his servant and said, you just open your eyes and you can see what I see. All right? Who do you think put them armies there? If the Holy Spirit's a finger of God, if the Holy Spirit is the worker, the Holy Spirit put that army there. It was a bigger, badder army than what they had, what the king had for him. So let's go out and let's think about that. Casey, a few weeks ago, made a little comment. She was speaking to some teenagers, and she said, I get up every morning and I say, Satan, you ain't getting me today. I say it every morning now, just a little thing like that. And I'll ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I need to say, what I need to do, everything that I say, think, honor him. Sometimes it don't work, but I ask it. But I know that I have the Holy Spirit right here. I know I have God, His Spirit, that knows Him, that is Him, right there. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for all you do. God, I just pray that we will just continue to ask your Holy Spirit into our lives, Lord, more and more and more, that we recognize Him, Lord, as the counselor, our worker, Lord, our coach, our comforter, Lord, in times when we have that uh-oh moment, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just bump us and say, look up. That you are with us, you're always with us. Guide us and direct us, Lord. If anyone in this room, Lord, that doesn't know you, that doesn't possess your Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that they would get it right tonight before they even head home. That you would speak to their heart, that you would use your Holy Spirit to convict them. Lord, we love you. We give you all the honor. And thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.